Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Chad Markowitz. We're your hosts for this weekend's edition. And boy, oh boy, we had a lot to talk about this week as the volatility continued in the markets. And we continued to see some spikes in commodity prices, followed by a quick drop there on Wednesday. We're actually recording this segment about middle of the day on Wednesday, but we're going to talk a bit more big picture about what the potential could be for the world or globally when it comes to commodities and ongoing supply chain issues. We're kicking off the show with Robert Sinn, also known as Goldfinger, over at CEO.ca. Now, Robert, I read over your stuff every day, and I really appreciate some of your company coverage as well as the individual charts that you dive into for commodities. And we're going to start off with oil, because it was Tuesday that I read your morning note where you outlined a scenario where there was or a setup for a blow-off top. Just so happened that that might have been the exact day that we saw at least a short-term blow-off top in oil, because we look at commodities broadly on Wednesday, and we're seeing a general pullback here. I'm looking at the crude price, and crude is $115 right now. That's down about $8 today, and off of its highs of around $130 from earlier this week. And again, kind of that blow-off top phase. Let's first just talk about oil and the general setup that you see in the charts. Where do you think oil could settle at, and do you think those 130 levels are going to be a top for a while?
Hi, Corey and Chad. Yes, thanks for having me on the show. The crude oil market is a really interesting one right now for a number of reasons. Obviously, what's happening with Russia and, Ukraine and the sanctions has really triggered kind of a parabolic move in crude oil in the last couple of weeks. It went from basically 90 to 130 in a straight line. The morning you referenced at the start, that's basically a call based upon sentiment and really overextended price action. Sometimes I think we need to just tune out the noise, and we can obviously make the bull case for oil and how it could keep going higher. But at the end of the day, as a trader, I play the probabilities, and when the daily sentiment index is above 90. For multiple days in a row, it actually reached 96 on Monday. That's a very extreme level for sentiment. You rarely see a daily sentiment, the daily sentiment index for a market like crude oil hit 96, maybe once a year at most, or once every couple of years. And it almost always closely coincides with at least a short-term peak in price. And then you add in the really overextended price action. The charts are all extremely overbought the last several days. And so, I made that call on Monday, and it's obviously very tricky to short a market like crude oil. And we've seen, these futures markets like, nickel or wheat, where they're just going to insane levels. So it can be very dangerous to short. So I used a bear call option spread, which basically allowed me to clearly set my risk level, my maximum possible loss on the trade if I'm wrong. And it also gives me some time, a couple of weeks, for this move to sort of settle out. And as long as crude is back under, let's say, 119 in 2 weeks from now, I'll make a maximum profit on the trade. And even if it went back above 130, I wouldn't lose any more than my maximum loss. So, as you pointed out here this morning, we're trading around 115 to 116. So right now, crude oil is putting a bearish engulfing candlestick on the daily chart. In the last two daily candlesticks have these big upper tails on them, which is often characteristic of a top. We call them topping tails.
Robert, do you think this is going to turn out to be a long-term simply Russia issue where we need to focus on the type of commodities that Russia provides to the world? Or do you see other countries getting sucked in here? One main country being China. A lot of commentators are saying, well, this could be the division between East and West. Essentially, do you see other countries joining Russia in potentially cutting off some of the world from their supply?
Yeah, this is not my area of expertise. I don't feel like I would have a really great, you know, answer for that. I think that countries that would choose to be with, Russia in this situation would be making a pretty bad choice for their populations. But countries like, you know, Venezuela, they're kind of stuck anyway, you know. But I think sort of the key revelation from this experience that we're having right now is that a country needs to value more highly its resources, whether it's water, whether it's natural gas, crude oil, cobalt, or, you know, nickel, wheat. All of these things are essential for the, you know, security of a nation and for the strength of its economy, the happiness of its people. So this is going to be suddenly become a major priority in every capital around the world. And then also you're going to have a, you know, military buildup, especially in Europe. Basically, the continent of Europe has sort of operated under this sense of peace and safety for many decades and counted on the, you know, U.S. and NATO to keep them safe. Well, I think countries like Germany and maybe some of the Baltic countries, Poland, obviously, Czech Republic, these countries are going to build up their armed forces, and they're going to buy more tanks, more planes, more bullets, and all of that requires more metal, more resources, right?
One other thing that Russia mines a lot of, though, and has been buying a lot of lately, Robert, is gold. And so when they were removed from the SWIFT banking system, their central bank came out and said they'd start buying gold. Gold's had a very big run over the last couple of weeks based on some of this Ukraine situation. It was trending higher before this, but silver has caught up and started playing catch up to gold and had a number of days it was outperforming. What do you think of the precious metals here in light of the recent macro backdrop?
So one of the biggest revelations from this definitely is counterparty risk. And we're seeing that in futures markets in a big way with this big Chinese mining company with the big short in nickel. And I think a lot of people are going to reassess counterparty risk going forward, and especially central banks, which you mentioned the fact that Russia's had its, euro and dollar forex, you know, reserves frozen essentially. That's, again, another unprecedented action. It's one unprecedented action and event following, you know, another one. And I think that makes gold that much more sought after, that much more valuable, that it's this asset that's nobody else's liability, and it's a key underpinning of any currency. So every central bank is going to be accumulating more gold going forward, and then high net worth investors and institutional investors will continue to accumulate, you know, gold. And you know, you have to think that all of these different factors sort of driving all the same way will just cause the gold uptrend to continue. Now, obviously, you know, in the short term, gold has had a very big run. We've basically gone from under 1800 to almost 2100 in a few months. That's a very, very large move by any stretch. I think we could see some digestion here around 1950 to 2050. But as long as gold is staying above 1900 to 1920, the sort of new area of, you know, support is very positive in the big picture.
All right, Robert, we have to wrap it up here. We are out of time for this segment, but always great chatting with you, buddy. We'll have you back on in the relatively near future. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, guys.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In the next two segments, we are chatting with Jeff Christian, managing partner at the CPM group. And Jeff, it was about 3 to 4 weeks that we last chatted, and boy, oh boy, it's a different world currently with the war that's going on between Russia and Ukraine, and quite frankly, what's happened with commodities. We've seen some individual commodities and resources literally go vertical. A little bit of a pullback we've seen this week due to some lessening of tensions between the countries, but this war is still ongoing as we are recording this about halfway through the day on Thursday. It's a different environment for commodities, and I think a lot of investors are trying to make sense of what jumps in prices are here to stay, what impacts to general commodity, maybe supply and demand fundamentals we might see stick around after this war is finished or behind us. Jeff, what's your takeaway from this different world that we have right now for commodities?
Yeah, you know, we've been saying in various reports and interviews over the last week that it's very important for our investors to be able to differentiate between short-term event-driven spikes up and down in prices and longer-term changes in prices that reflect either cyclical or secular changes in an individual market or the overall economy. And you can look at oil, and you can look at wheat, and you can look at platinum, palladium, gold, and silver. And in each of those markets, what you saw was that the prices were rising in the fourth quarter and in January and in most of February. And they were rising partly a little bit because of Russia's saber rattling against the Ukraine and the buildup of forces. But they were also rising because of inflationary pressures, strong economic conditions, strong fundamental demand for all of those commodities, and supply constraints. You know, then February 24th came, Russia invades Ukraine, and they all go parabolic. And it's important to understand that, you know, that parabolic move reflects this short-term event-driven thing. And I don't know how long the war is going to last. I know if the U.S. and NATO wanted to, we could probably end it in 48 hours, you know, but it's probably going to stretch on longer than that because we seem to have hired incompetent people again, as political leaders. But, you know, at some point the war either ends or there's a clear vision of how it's going to be resolved. And at that point, that event-driven spike dissipates. And we saw a little bit of that this week. But there's more to come later. But when they fall back, they're going to fall back to where they were in mid to late February because you have these other cyclical and secular pressures that have been pushing prices up or pulling prices higher before the war started. And so, you know, I think that that's the way that we're looking at it, and that's the way we're encouraging our investor clients to look at it, too.
Well, Jeff, you raise an interesting point there in that a lot of these commodities were already moving, like you mentioned, in Q4 of last year. And then things just really got accelerated when the geopolitical tensions broke out. So a lot of people are assuming that things will just go back, kind of as you just alluded to the pre-Ukraine pricing. But I wonder when we just saw a CPI reading come out this morning of 7.9%, where there's still been a steady creep higher in inflation, is some of the move still the fiscal and monetary pressures, has that all been alleviated? I mean, couldn't some of the price rise be a concert of different factors all acting together?
Well, I guess that's what I was trying to say. But yeah, you know, that's what I'm saying is there have been a lot of things that have been going on. So for example, if you look at U.S. consumer demand for goods and services, you know, our imports of product last year, the United States imports, trade imports, were up 19% from 2019 levels. So it wasn't just that demand rose as we came out of the lockdown of 2020 in 2021, but demand rose that, you know, back to pre-pandemic levels, and then another 20%, another one-fifth increase in the volume of goods and services. So there are real economic pressures on inflation. Monetary pressures, pulling prices higher, actually are not nearly as important as a lot of would-be self-appointed pundits on the Internet say. you know, the monetary largesse definitely is in there, but the fiscal largesse, which is the Congress and the administration, and not just this Congress and administration, but Congresses and administrations for the last 40 years in worse, ever worsening conditions. You know, the fiscal largesse has been much more inflationary because that actually stimulates real economic demand. So we've seen that going on. You have real demand rising sharply for a lot number of goods and services. You have supply constraints on a number of goods and services. Again, you know, if you look at the February data, food prices were up 7.9% from a year ago. They were up 1% from January. Petroleum-based energy prices were up 25% from a year ago, and they were up 3.5%. You know, gasoline was up 6.7% from January. If you look at non-petroleum-based energy, it actually was down 0.4% from January, and it was about 12% higher than it had been in February of 2021. In February 2021, it's important to remember, that was the first month when you saw, you know, if you go back to February 2021, the headline inflation in the United States was something on the order of 1.7%. as opposed to 7.9%. Yeah. So this inflationary period that we've been in is basically less than 12 months old, or it's about 12 months old now because it started, prices really started rising in March of last year. So we're 12 months into this inflationary period, and people act like this has been going on forever. And you say, you know, and oh yeah, prices rose the highest since 1982. But if you look at 1982, prices had come down. Price growth had come down to 7% in 1982, having spent most of the previous decade between 7 and 14%. So we had a decade of high and hyperinflation back then, and we're coming out of it in 1982. Now we're 12 months into a period of high inflation. And you can disaggregate it and you can say, okay, what about non-food, non-energy, you know, the core stuff? Well, again, automotive vehicles demand, you know, that's up 12% from a year ago, prices for new automobiles, but it's up 0.3% from January. Used cars up 41% from a year ago, but it's down 0.2% from January. So you're seeing some of those inflationary pressures that pushed prices up so high over the last 12 months starting to dissipate.
All right, Jeff, we're out of time for this segment on the radio, but as I mentioned on the onset, we're having you back on next segment. We're going to keep on elaborating on this topic because I think it really is the most relevant in terms of what's driving these commodities and where they're going to settle out price-wise. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with Jeff Christian.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA Radio News. 65 million people are under a winter weather advisory this weekend as a powerful winter storm blowing into the Northeast is expected to intensify into a bomb cyclone. The Weather Prediction Center says some areas could receive more than 12 inches of snow.
President Biden says Russian President Vladimir Putin must suffer the consequences for his war in Ukraine.
Putin is an aggressor. He is the aggressor. And Putin must pay the price.
The president said Russia will suffer once permanent normal trade relations are axed. The proposal would require congressional approval. Congress continues to debate whether to end daylight saving time or make it permanent. A committee met this week to discuss the pros and cons on the twice annual clock change. Time is set to spring forward an hour this weekend, except for Puerto Rico, Hawaii, and Arizona. This is USA Radio News. Vice President Kamala Harris praised Romania for its ongoing work accepting and helping refugees from Ukraine.
We stand together, Romania and the United States, in ensuring that we will do all that is required to put resources into the humanitarian piece of this.
The vice president also said the United States and allies will continue providing considerable humanitarian assistance to Ukraine. She noted the U.S. and other NATO nations are committed to the security of Eastern Europe. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen warned there could be another year of high inflation. Amid the uncertainty caused by the invasion of Ukraine, prices have soared at their fastest pace in 40 years over the last 12 months. The latest data from the Labor Department show consumer prices climbed 7.9% in February from a year ago, the largest annual increase since January 1982. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And we are continuing to chat with Jeff Christian, managing partner at the CPM Group. Jeff, I want to talk about the big news event that's coming next week, and that is the Fed meeting. Now expectations are right back to a 25 basis point hike. What are you going to be watching on the back of that rate hike in terms of market moves and in terms of what Powell says at the press conference?
The core economy, I think, pays attention to what the Fed says and what mainstream economists say. And there were, like, there was one FOMC member who said, well, maybe we should raise interest rates 50 basis points in March. And all the others were saying, no, that's not going to happen. And most mainstream economists are saying, no, that's probably not going to happen. And now with the war on, you're definitely not going to see that happen unless something dramatic happens in the next 6 days before their meeting, you know. So you hear a lot of noise. And again, you know, I guess investors have to do things. I ended last year, my last video last year, I said investors have to know themselves. They have to understand who they are. And they have to take command of the noise and the sound-to-noise ratio that they're allowing into their lives. And you've got to just sort of say to yourself, okay, I'm going to focus on people who have been right. You know, I'm tempted to start a challenge in the precious metals market. Like, you know, the dignity of people who put forth outrageous things and the foolishness of people to listen to them, it's really a cause of mental illness for a lot of people. You know, and there should be some challenge or some pledge that, hey, if you're saying that silver's going to $100 or gold's going to $10,000 or the dollar's going to collapse or interest rates are going to 8% this year, and they don't, you have an ethical obligation to stop saying this stuff in public. I mean, because you've got a lot of people who get really upset and they're really concerned about it. And they probably, you know, should be listening to actual economists and financial analysts and people who understand this stuff and not people who are just trying to sell them precious metals at inflated prices.
I think that's a solid point, Jeff. There should be more accountability. And I would even say that extends to the mainstream economic financial people, though, because there's a lot of them that said inflation would just be transitory for a couple months and that, you know, we wouldn't see it. That there's people that are surprised that the Fed waited this long to start hiking rates. They thought they'd be hiking them a year or two ago. A lot of people called the pandemic crash wrong. They called the Ukraine situation wrong. So there's a lot of bad calls, I guess, across the board. But one thing we've heard a little bit more of, and not to get out onto a limb here, but we have heard calls of the potential of a recession for three factors: the doubling or even tripling of fuel prices, the fact that the yield curve is getting pretty flat. It's only 20 basis points now between the 2 and the 10-year note. And if those invert, that's usually a signal. And then there's also those calls for slowing growth in GDP. GDP for the first quarter is anticipated to be pretty close to zero. So do you give that any weight, that people and investors maybe should be more defensive than they have been over the last few years, just because there is that risk of this Fed rate hiking cycle tipping things over into a slightly recessionary situation?
We have a recession built into our economic projection, at least for the industrialized world. So we don't have it starting until 2024. Yeah, obviously GDP is going to be pretty low in the United States and a couple other countries in the first quarter of this year, but I think it pulls itself out. And the reality is that it's virtually impossible to project the future, to predict the future. We project. We don't predict. We project. So we look at where we are now. We look at where we've been. We look at recent trends and levels, and we say, okay, what's a reasonable probability for the future? And you run all kinds of scenarios. You know, when Greenspan was at the Fed, I think he had 30 different economic scenarios, and he didn't try to pick the right one. He tried to pick policies that were less destructive across the most reasonable scenarios to expect. You know, and I think that people need to really do that because, I make projections. Everybody makes projections. You have to have a vision of the future if you're going to be an investor or an investment advisor. But you have to, the investors themselves have to say, okay, who am I listening to? What's their track record? Does this sound reasonable? Or if I stopped and I turned off my computer and I went onto the porch and I watched the sunset and I thought about this, I would say, what that guy is saying just doesn't make sense. And then you invest in your convictions, or you say, that guy might be making sense, but I need to go back online and find some other people who either might contradict him or might substantiate further what he's saying. You know, people just don't do that. And we see that in the precious metals. I mean, I've had a lot of clients who are billionaires who have made a fortune in other industries. And then they decide to put some of that fortune in gold. And when they do, everything that they knew about how to study an investment and make a decision based on data and detailed analysis and reasonable expectations goes out the window. And they call us up and they say, I was watching this old codger who's 80 years old online, and he's saying that gold's going to $10,000 next year because Biden's a communist. So I want you to help me buy gold. I've seen that over and over again. When it comes to gold and silver, people throw every bit of reason out the window, and they act on impulse and beliefs and the last thing that they heard. And you can't do that. Well, you can, but you'll lose money doing it.
All right, Jeff, I want to also talk to you about the majors, the large miners, especially in the precious metals. Those have done pretty well, and we actually have seen a general increase in investment demand for the majors. They've actually moved up in this environment of a higher gold price, and undoubtedly, they have to be making money at these much higher precious metals prices. You also did a video on majors and how they hedge some of their sales. give us a rundown on the environment you see for the major companies, the major miners right now, especially in the precious metals.
Well, you know, they have suffered, but they are doing better in terms of their equity prices right now. And part of that is just because everybody's running into gold and gold assets. And there are any number of investors who do not invest in gold. They invest in gold mining shares. You know, in fact, probably the majority of our investor clients are gold equity investors as opposed to gold investors, but they queue off of the gold price. So the gold majors have done well because the gold price has risen so sharply in the last several 2 weeks and in the last, you know, 2 months too. They still have issues, but, you know, as I said in that video, there are two sets of performance metrics to look at. One is operational metrics, and that's where, you know, so yeah, they've got to be making money. In fact, they've got to be making a lot of money. If you look at a typical mining company and they have maybe a cash cost that's, you know, on average of $800 and an all-in sustaining cost of maybe $1,000 or $1,100, and the price is $1,900 or $2,000, they should be making about 100% profit margin. So operationally, they should be doing well. On the other side, which is their equity side, that's where they've suffered. And they've suffered because investors, there were a lot of investors who were turned off by years of underperformance, and they have been addressing those issues. They have started giving out dividends. They have been reinvesting a little bit more wisely than they used to. And I think that that's starting to show. There's a lot more to go in order for the larger gold producers to rebuild the trust that institutional and high net worth individual investors want. But I think that they are moving in that direction.
All right, Jeff, we're going to wrap it up there. Look, there's a lot of cross currents driving the commodity sector broadly, but commodities have skyrocketed. Some absolutely gone vertical, and we're all trying to figure out where a reasonable level is going to be for a lot of these commodities. Jeff, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. We'll chat again in probably about a month's time. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
You too. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insists on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome.
probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are chatting with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, and also writes the Mark to Market blog. I will post a link within the weekend show posting. And Mark, we've talked a lot about commodities in this weekend show. We will also touch on some of the commodity moves, but you are really our in-house currency expert here. So I want to focus on some of these, again, pretty extreme moves in currencies, starting with simply the U.S. dollar. Now, the U.S. dollar, we all know how much it's weighted against the euro, and Europe is broadly continuing to struggle with the ongoing war between Russia and China and some of their energy costs, as well as other implications when, well, they're putting sanctions, everyone's putting sanctions against Russia. Fact of the matter is, though, the U.S. dollar, after starting last year, so 2021, pretty much at a bottom at 89, steadily climbed through most of 2021, dropped a little bit at the tail end of the year, and then has really popped this year and has reached levels right around 99 on the dollar index. Mark, how do you balance out how much of this strength in the dollar is really just a war premium and how much is actual strength in the dollar because traders like what's going on in the U.S.?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that both are right in the sense that there are good things happening in the U.S. relatively, and you also have this war, and that the war is really undermining European currencies, and not only the euro, but until this week, Poland, Czech, Hungary, anything proximate to the war. So I think that the dollar strength is broader. And here's one way to think about it. As you noted, the dollar index is heavily weighted towards the euro, European currencies. Two of the U.S.'s four largest trading partners aren't even in it, Mexico and China. But as a rough and ready proxy for the dollar, it captures like the general trend. But one thing that doesn't really reveal as much, I'd say, is what's happened to dollar-yen. Typically, given the risk-off mood, weakness in stocks, the war, you'd expect the yen to be better bid. But today, ahead of the weekend, the dollar has risen to new five-year highs against the yen, above 117. And this, I think, is partly a reflection that the U.S. yield, 10-year yield, is flirting with 2% level. But you've got a broad-based dollar strength. And the other point I'd make is that, and this is why I think it's not just the war, but look at what's happening. So I track the two-year interest rate differentials, which I think is, I don't want to get into the bill market, and sometimes it just gives us a broader perspective. And I find it does line up nicely often with the currencies. So say last October, both Australia and Canada offered about a 20 basis point premium to the U.S. And now both are near a 20 basis point discount to the U.S. That is to say, U.S. has higher interest rates than Australia or Canada. And even against Germany, it used to be the Deutsche Mark, but now with the euro, I find it still very sensitive to this two-year interest rate differential, which is basically back to late 2019 levels, above 200 basis points. What this means is that, just to like boil it down in a nutshell, what it means, people are getting paid to be long U.S. dollars.
That's an interesting trade, too, right? Being long U.S. dollars into a Fed rate hike. Now, that might have implications as well on dollar strength, as well as the interest rates that you're talking about, where the 10-year has rebounded back up to around 2%. How much of this is predicated on the Fed, and how much is also predicated on the Fed being able to get at least a number of consistent rate hikes out the door in the relatively near term?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. You know, so the Federal Reserve does meet next week, and I think everybody and their mother now is looking for 25 basis points. I was never really convinced that the Fed's leadership wanted a 50 basis point hike to begin the cycle, but in any event, it seems quite clear they're not in favor of it anymore. But I think that, I do think the Fed rate hikes, but here's what I'd be careful about. And again, we have this historical patterns to go on. You can't deduce these things from first principles. But in the past, what's often happened is that the dollar rallies ahead of the first Fed rate hike. Probably maybe it's been telegraphed. The market anticipates it. And we get something that looks like buy the rumor, sell the fact. So that after the Fed hikes rates, it's like delivered what the market has expected, people take profits. And we are getting some extreme readings in some of the currencies as far as the momentum indicators as we head into the weekend.
What extreme readings are you talking about? Share with us what's caught your eye then.
You know, when I was earlier in my career, I would try to find the perfect trend line, mathematically ideal, all these things. But now I want to draw the trend line the way the typical spot trader would, because I want people to act on it. And if I just have this imaginary perfect trend line or this perfect thing that nobody else looks at, it doesn't develop that networking effect that we need. So I try to use the technical tools that are common, like the MACD, moving average crossover, convergence, divergence, and you have a slow stochastics. And these, you know, think about how big of moves we've had. These are getting extreme readings. And so it would surprise me to see a bit of a pullback. But also, ahead of the weekend, who knows what's going to happen in Ukraine with Russia. The U.S. and the U.K. are warning that Russia may be engaged in false flag kind of operations, essentially blaming Ukraine for developing biological or chemical weapons, and that would give them, that is Russia, a justification, seemingly, to use them. And so the U.S. and the U.K. have called Russia out, but ahead of the weekend, it seems to me that many people don't want to take on more risk.
That is true, but we have seen kind of a general shift towards safer assets, right? And also towards commodities. We saw spikes in commodities almost across the board. Some commodities like nickel, boy, oh boy, they have shut down trading, canceled trades in the nickel market. Why aren't we seeing commodity currencies do better then?
Yeah, no, it's kind of interesting, right? Because for the last, most of February into early March, the strongest major currencies were the commodity currencies, Aussie, Kiwi. Canada was strong, and we've seen those currencies weaken, even though we've seen flows into like the stock market. So, for example, one of the interesting things about this past week's activity, even though most of the major stock markets have fallen this week, Canada's been up most of the week. And so I think the thing that generally is that one is the currency market is driven by short-term flows, and the way commodities are going to help Canada, New Zealand, Australia, Brazil is probably over time. They sure they get a little bit more money for their exports, but in the long run, what's going to really drive this is going to be money being invested in the commodity space, expanding output, foreigners taking a hold of some companies to secure those supply chains. So I think that the relative strength of the Canadian stock market is notable. But in general, I say that the currencies are driven by these short-term flows, while the commodity story is really a medium or longer-term investment theme.
Do you think we are in what a lot of people are saying is another super cycle for commodities then? Has the world changed that much on the back of maybe let's just even say the COVID washout, that very quick drop we saw across the board, demand come back in, and now –
the Russia-Ukraine war, different supply lines being set up.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. So think about something like oil. Russia exports, say, 5 to 6 million barrels of oil a day. How is that going to be replaced? Russia and Ukraine make up whatever it is, 30% of the world's wheat supply. How is that going to be made up? They make up about half of the world's sunflower oil. How is that going to be made up? So I think that they're right now, given the state of things, the war, I think that it's creating a shortage of these commodities. They're going to be difficult to meet without Russia. And how will this, when I say it's difficult to meet, how does the market distribute a scarce resource, higher prices? And so I think that's what the bottom line, I think, from the ECB meeting this past week, from what the IMF has said, and I think what the Fed is going to say next week, we should be braced for higher inflation for longer. And that this could mean then, so people like me, I think we're looking for a stabilization, say April, May, in inflation readings. And now looking at what's happening, maybe not until October or Q4.
All right, Mark, for radio segment purposes, we are out of time for this segment. But everybody listening on the radio, I'm going to continue this conversation with Mark, diving a bit more into the whole stagflation narrative that has really picked up steam, how precious metals are faring through all of it, and just what we need to be looking for when it comes to the Fed rate hikes and what the fallout is going to be in terms of market moves. There's a lot coming next week and this year. The first two and almost half months of this year have already been a wild ride for markets, and there really is no sign of that slowing down. To hear that full interview, please visit our website, kereport.com. Click on that weekend show posting and listen to segment 4. That goes with all of these segments on the radio show and throughout the week. We keep on posting segments day in, day out, and a lot of this last week was focused on commodities because of the spikes we were seeing. Mark, I really appreciate your time, and everybody, thank you for tuning in. I hope you all enjoyed this weekend show, and I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.